Disclaimer: The Prisoner of Choice is a work of fiction. Any resemblance with any person, incident, or organization is merely coincidental. This audiobook may contain material unsuitable for those weak at heart. Audience discretion is advised. Chapter 2. Wolfgang. My parents were livid when they heard my decision. Although I was by no means their only child, they wanted all their sons to be respected gentlemen in the society. They had etched up colorful dreams for the four of us, where each of us would have a respectable job and a lovely wife in tow with two kids, a son and a daughter. That was the dream, and even though my three elder brothers had fulfilled each of the aforementioned conditions, they expected nothing else from their youngest offspring, me. When I told them of my decision to accompany the Salvagers' army into Africa, they despised me with every particle of their being. Having already declared me as insane, they had hoped that I would at least turn over a new leaf and inculcate their ideology in the way I lived my life. The sole blame for the entire debacle was laid on Wolfgang, the village outcast who was fabled to possess altruistic powers. The people of Hobsburg shunned the bearded old man who sat all alone beyond the turnstile that circled Barnes Field. At times of grave need, when someone had a deathly disease, people would often take that person to Wolfgang, as it was fabled that he had divine healing powers. Even though Wolfgang had proven his worth to the villagers as a healer and as a selfless person, the villagers still shunned him and did not allow him to cross the threshold to come into the village itself. They on their part feared that he would bring with himself a plague that would wipe out all life from the village. Once in a while, when someone happened to cross the river whilst going to the city, they would often come upon Wolfgang sitting all alone underneath the oak tree, meditating in silence. At times people would see him just for a second, and then he would disappear. But many a times when I had laid my eyes on him, I could see deep wounds on his body. There were fresh wounds that seemed as if they had not healed at all. And even in that picture of agony, I could not help but notice the childlike radiance which he bore on his face. Once I approached him and asked as to why he bore such deep wounds on his body. He broke into a laugh and said, "If I won't bear them, then who will? Will you bear them for me?" At that time I was a lad of 16, and the ghastly challenge scared me out of my wits. What kind of person would expect a service like that from a young lad like me? I quizzed to myself. I told my parents of the incident, and they forbade me to ever go and speak to Wolfgang again. My parents had considerable influence with the local authorities, and so they had Wolfgang evicted from underneath the oak tree. I was saddened to know that Wolfgang had lost his home due to my babbling. But sadly, what was done, was done. When I was a lad, 17 years of age, and was going through the usual explosive phases that accompanied the post-puberty teenage idiosyncrasies, I had the first breakup of my life. I was deeply in love with Diane. I professed my love to her and she turned me down with a haughty scoff. That was it. In the 6 months that followed the incident, I tried to end my life thrice. My parents took me to the city's general hospital, where I was diagnosed with unipolar depression. The doctors put me on a 3-month prescription medicine plan, and we returned back home. Back in the day, psychology was still an underdeveloped branch of medicine, and my symptoms only worsened by the day. I could find no solace in my life, as even in my sleep I now started seeing unknown people that seemed to be in pain, screaming, calling out to me in their derision. With time the symptoms only worsened, as I again attempted suicide in the following month. My parents were at a loss of words, but they certainly seemed to care less about my health as my condition worsened by the day. I would often leave the house early in the morning to go wandering out on the countryside. Often I would sit under the oak tree that was once the resting place of Wolfgang, staring blankly into the nothingness that now represented my life. A year. 1 whole year I lived in this torturous existence. I thought that there was no end to my suffrage in this life. Until one day when he returned, the day when Wolfgang returned to the village. Everything changed on that day. Wolfgang came and sat alongside me as I was staring into nothingness. I was startled by his sudden appearance, but there was something about his presence that calmed my nerves considerably. There was a quiet stillness in the air that surrounded him, and sitting there in his company underneath the oak tree, I felt better than I had felt in years. I looked at Wolfgang and he smiled. There were several teeth missing, but still there was something in his smile that conquered me completely. I looked into his eyes and instantly my mind was relieved of the pain that it had bore for so many days. A bandaged wound on Wolfgang's head split open as blood trickled down the side of his head. And in that one moment, in that one single moment, I realized what he was trying to say to me. The last time when we had met, his words still echoed in my ears. If I won't bear them, then who will? Will you bear them for me? I just sat there looking into his eyes for the rest of the day, while he sat there smiling at me, radiating nothing but love and mercy. The following night, my life changed forever. God came to me in a vision yesterday. He came to me in a chariot of light, and as I knelt in reverence before him, he took my hand and sat me on his chariot. He bore me far away to distant lands where I saw much pain and suffering. I saw many people languishing in despair as they wept and moaned for all that they had lost. He led me over a huge graveyard that seemed to stretch on forever and ever. I silently perused the entire tragedy of the universe, and in my heart I felt that somewhere, in some way, I was responsible for the pain that was being inflicted on those people. In my heart, I knew that the Lord was only showing me the consequences of my own actions, scenes of horror that were perhaps justifying my state of mental despair and the torment that I was undergoing. As I thought of this, the Lord turned to me and stared deep into my eyes. You suffer, for others have suffered at your hands. But fear not, for still a great purpose would be fulfilled at your hands. Fear not, my son. Retribution shall be yours. Keep the faith. At that instant the dream broke, and I awakened in my bedroom. The Lord had spoken, and now I waited. I waited for the day when he would finally show me my purpose. I waited for 10 long years. 10 long years. The years leading up to the dramatic vision in which God finally showed me the course of my life were interspersed with many depressive episodes. I tried to fall back into my old ways, but desire, it seemed, no longer held for me the same allure. I could not enjoy it, and yet I could not renounce it. What else would I then do? Where would I find joy in my life? The questions were unending, and they remained unanswered, until that fateful day when I decided to end it all. Incidentally, that was the first day of the rest of my life. For God came to me in a vision yesterday. As I related the entire series of incidents that had come to pass in my life in the 10 years that preceded that moment, my parents were all the more convinced of my insanity. We will not stop you, But today we'll tell you a truth that we have kept from you ever since you became a part of our family." My father said, "You're not my son. You never were. You are the illegitimate offspring of my sister. She died in childbirth, after which we assumed full responsibility of raising you as our own." He finished. The words stung like hot skewers piercing my heart. "Who was my father?" I asked numbly. My mother looked at me and scoffed. "He was a tramp, a witless worm who was driven out of this town 25 years ago. The cold sense of realization swept over me as my heart cried out in joy. Destiny had spoken. As I turned my back on the people who had begrudgingly raised me as their son for 28 years, I heard a question come to my ears. "You say you have seen God. How does it look like?" Without looking back at them, I said out loud, "He looks like my father." A couple of miles away, as Wolfgang watched his son leave behind the town of Habsburg and the house of his ancestors, a smile found its way on his face. His son had made the choice. His work here was done. The next day, the people of Habsburg found Wolfgang's body underneath the oak tree. There was no sign of a struggle. He had passed on.